Hey, welcome to season three of the Fearless Women podcast. I'm Janice McDonald, creator, host, and executive producer of the show and global champion for women. Thank you for joining us every week as we bring you inspiring conversations with the unafraid. We're the source for authentic, true stories from remarkable women from around the world. If you love what you hear, tell your friends and share the love with a five-star rating. Sign up for our Stay Fearless newsletter. You'll get the inside scoop on all things fearless, like episode highlights, my personal reflections, and so much more. Subscribe with the link in the show notes and follow us on Instagram at Fearless Women Podcast. Remember to pick up a copy of my beautiful best-selling book, Fearless Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision, for more inspiring true stories. It's available everywhere. Enjoy the show and stay fearless. Hey, everybody, I'm Janice McDonald. Welcome to the Fearless Women Podcast. A big shout out to our listeners from all around the globe, including USA, UK, Poland, Australia, and so many more countries. We love having you join us. I'm thinking about you, and I hope you're doing all right out there. Well, I have an exciting, fearless guest for you today. Let me tell you all about this inspiring leader. Lauren Kelly is Chief Marketing Officer at Thought Exchange. Prior to her current role, she held senior executive positions at PepsiCo, Dell, and Irvine Company. She's been recognized as a rising leader by numerous organizations, including the California Diversity Council, Internet Marketing Association, and that's just some of her accolades. She has a passion for disruptive tech, global branding, and go-to-market innovation. We have so much to talk about, including the fact that Lauren has explored each continent except Antarctica. So I guess that's on her list. She's going to tell us all about that and so much more. Welcome to the show, Lauren Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me, Janice. This is such an exciting way to cap my day.
Okay, so first off, how have you been managing during the pandemic? And, you know, have you learned anything about yourself as you've been going through this last year?
Oh, goodness. What haven't I learned? I imagine, like everybody, it's been this year of incredible highs and then, of course, some pretty amazingly incredible lows. You know, like everyone, we've had the challenge of COVID, working myself and my husband and learning remotely for our kids. And, you know, while it's been absolutely challenging and difficult, I would say the silver lining for me is that it's enabled me to slow down a lot, to slow down the activities and the commitments that, you know, once I had a kind of forced pause of everything, it really allowed me to start to look at the activities and that were either nourishing my soul and maybe look at things that weren't. I've definitely figured out that there's a lot of hard things that I didn't think I could possibly do, that now I can. And I have found a lot of sustenance just in humor and in finding things that, despite all the craziness of the world, that we could still laugh at.
Well, a sense of humor can carry us through so much. I share that appreciation with you. Absolutely. Why don't you tell us about your role at Thought Exchange? Why do you love it? What are you up to over there and why do you love it?
Sure. So I am the Chief Marketing Officer at Thought Exchange, and that allows me to be both the leader who focuses on how we go to market for our software platform and also on helping shape the future vision for the product itself. Just by way of description, Thought Exchange falls in what we call enterprise discussion management. And essentially that means that it helps leaders to have higher value discussions that enable them to solve their most complex problems. So it's a pretty simple concept, but it has a really amazing impact on the organizations where we partner. And specifically, the technology that underlies Thought Exchange platform enables us to help our leaders and our customers access, uncover better insights and solutions. And it allows us to do that across very diverse, large groups. And it allows those customers to do that in a fraction of the time it would take to actually have conversations with such large groups. The platform takes a combination of different technologies. So it merges kind of the collective intelligence area of technology with AI. And we also have a patent around an anti-bias technology that helps teams to essentially get at the best answers, irrespective of who is the person suggesting a certain answer or approach. You know, what's really exciting about this place and this company is that we're always innovating. So especially with the recent year that we've all had, where people within business and education, because those are two parts of our business, have been faced with a lot of change and everyone has needed to leverage technology even more to do their jobs, Thought Exchange has had this critical role to play in helping those leaders and teams to continue to have efficient and effective discussions, even now that we're all really, for the most part, working remotely or in a more hybrid environment.
So Dolly Parton once said, if you don't like the road you're walking, pave another. How does that resonate with you, Lauren?
If I'm being honest, it sounds a little bit like a bit of a privileged perspective.
Tell me more. Yeah.
So I guess my thought is absolutely if you can. And I'm not sure that everyone has the same access or opportunity to decide that they just want to pick up and pave another way to do something, especially when you imagine that many people in particular right now are struggling to kind of maintain some of those basics of food and shelter, et cetera. I absolutely, you know, believe personally that taking as much control as possible over one's destiny is a great attitude. And for those like myself who have had a lot of opportunities and feel very privileged, I do find it easier to pave my own path, but I would probably hesitate to quote that myself.
Mm. What about then, this might be more fitting, the great Maya Angelou once said, my mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive, and to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. How does that resonate with you?
That sounds much more up my alley. I think that it is, I always go back to, you really only have one life, and what you do with it may not fully be in your control, like we just talked about, but it's something to strive for, to figure out how to make it as beautiful and fulfilling as you can. So I do love that. And I, of course, love Maya Angelou.
So you work for many impressive brands. Tell us about that experience. And also, has your leadership changed and evolved over time based on your experiences at these different cool places?
Yeah, sure. So I have. I've worked at a lot of large organizations before I came to Thought Exchange, which is this really high growth, exciting startup. I started at PepsiCo, which is a really large company, and had the opportunity to work across almost every division there and lots of different functions. I really focused on gaining as much breadth as I could early in my career, because I felt like the more experiences I had early and quickly in my career, the more patterns I could learn to recognize and be able to be an even better decision maker and leader. I was able to take that experience to my work at Dell Technologies, which is a completely different ball of interesting business. And specifically when I left PepsiCo, I said I traded chips for chips. You know, I went from potato right. chips to a very different kind of chip.
Yeah.
And it was a mind-stretching experience. And so one of the things that I've absolutely found important for the kind of career that I've led, which does have me in new and different challenging roles almost every 2 to 4 years, was to have a lot of humility when I'm coming into the roles, because it's quite certain that I don't know as much about wherever I'm going as the people who are there. And to balance that humility with a confidence in what I can bring to the table, which is a really expansive way of thinking, an ability to ask incisive and deep questions that get at the heart of issues. And as a leader, what I found is, especially as you move between organizations, the leadership is highly situational. Specifically, and you know, this may sound obvious, but what works in one organization or with one person that you're leading may or may not work with another. And as someone who really sees my role as a team leader and as an organizational leader to help the people within those organizations meet their full potential, a lot of it is about meeting people where they are and helping them find what they're particularly good at and what they can bring to the table that is their gift. And so it is, I always say it's not highly efficient, right? Because you can't cut and paste your approach from place to place. But when you do nail down exactly how to work with one individual or one team, you can bring lessons to the next. And so I found I am a different leader wherever I go.
What about the role of serendipity in your life?
I guess I feel incredibly fortunate and lucky for the opportunities that I've received. That said, I do believe that some things happen for a reason. And I have a hard time believing that everything is pure happenstance, which is why I have this life philosophy, which is part of why I become highly overcommitted. My life philosophy is always saying yes if I can possibly make something happen. So whether it's, can you take 30 minutes to talk to me? Almost always yes. Do you want to go to this gathering or event? Yes, okay. And certainly if a friend calls me and says, let's just get on a plane and go travel somewhere at a moment's notice, if I can make it work, I really try to, because I always assume that this could be the thing that connects me to the next thing. So, you know, again, it's this kind of expansive, let's make sure I leave no stone unturned, because you never know when your next opportunity is going to emerge.
How do you feel about the importance of diversity in leadership?
Oh, I mean, it is essential. I come at it from two different points of view. One is thinking about the success of an enterprise, be it a business, be it an academic institution. And study after study has shown that the more diverse the leadership is, the more successful the enterprise is. So from a results-oriented perspective, it seems impossible to not see that diversity will help these enterprises to be more successful. On top of that, as somebody who was at one point a more junior person in a company and was looking to determine how to grow and progress my own career, it's so incredibly important for people of all walks of life, of all gender, of all racial backgrounds, to see versions of themselves in more senior roles. So the diversity of an organization, I think, is a virtuous cycle where the business thrives and the people within the organization are able to do their best work when they see opportunity above them and ahead of them.
You're absolutely right. The business case is so clear that diverse organizations perform better. It's, you know, that is guaranteed. When you were a younger, you know, junior leader looking up, did you see people that looked like you? Were you encouraged, and are you more encouraged now?
I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me. I grew up in a fairly homogenous small town. And I was growing up in my elementary school and high school years, middle school years, the only Black woman who had the types of aspirations that I had. And I often was questioned on whether or not I was reaching a little bit too far or too high.
Wow.
I was really fortunate to have a few people, my parents, of course, who told me, absolutely, not only can you do it, but we fully expect that you can go do these things, these hard things. And I also had, you know, a few people in my life, a guidance counselor who, while she herself had not actually seen a Black woman come out of our school and go to, I went to Harvard for undergrad. So in this case, go to an Ivy League school. She had a certainty and in kind of put that certainty in me that you can do this and I'm going to help you do this. That said, you asked, is it better now? Yes, it is better, but it is far from where it should be. So I continue to have this as a central passion of mine to find ways to elevate the opportunities for people who are not represented as well in certain academic environments or in the C-suite or in broadly in leadership roles. It's actually one of the reasons why I chose to join Thought Exchange, because beyond the immediate value that Thought Exchange provides businesses and institutions to make better, faster, more aligned decisions, it does so in a way that elevates the voices of all people in the discussion. And so what is really beautiful about the tool and the platform is it supports the best thinking, not necessarily the thinking that comes in the package that people are used to seeing it in. And that I think is going to be a huge unlock for businesses and for organizations as they try to live the values of diversity and inclusion.
Anything that eliminates that unconscious bias is going to get us to a better place.
Exactly, exactly.
So Lauren, share a time you were fearless. I mean, I'd love to hear about landing on the campus at Harvard, but you know, tell us about that, but also if there's a different time that you would say, you know what, that was a fearless Lauren.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you a little bit about landing on the campus at Harvard, and then I'll tell you about my most recent fearless endeavor.
Perfect.
Yes. So I came from, as I said, a smaller town with, what I thought was a really solid education, and showed up with the best that I had. You know, I showed up with a fair bit of preparation, and what I learned were a lot of gaps. My biggest gaps, though, were not academic. So yes, there's things you always realize you wish you had learned, and you wish you had studied a little harder. But my biggest gaps were experiential, because I showed up and I found, students who had at that time, I've traveled a lot now, but at that time had already traveled the world multiple different ways and times with their families. I found individuals who perhaps had spent years at more of a prep school, which didn't necessarily give them a better education academically, but gave them a really expansive worldview in terms of perhaps the things that they had been exposed to, and an understanding also of how systems work. And so my biggest aha, or my biggest challenge when I got to Harvard, was just understanding how systems in the world worked. What I always say is you may not choose to operate within that system, but you have to know the rules to break the rules. And so I had to really get up to speed on all the unwritten rules of academic institutions. And then, very quickly, as I was looking for my first job, of business. And that was a pretty steep learning curve. That said, I could not have imagined a better place to do it, because, my alma mater did a very nice job of helping those of us who might come from slightly more sheltered environments to really quickly spread our wings.
I can share with you that I have been a member of the Women's Leadership Board at Harvard Kennedy School Wow. And yeah, the Women in Public Policy program to support groundbreaking research, teaching, policy translation. So on occasion, I've had the opportunity to be on that beautiful campus, and it is a special place.
It really is. It was, I feel like it was very central to helping me to be the person that I am today.
So you're this fearless person, and you've got a fearless example of your latest fearlessness. Can you share it with us?
I left my cushy corporate job to take a bet on thought exchange. And I think that is probably the epitome of fearless. And what really catalyzed that for me was that, we'd been hit by a global pandemic, and we were in the midst of a racial justice reckoning around the country and really around the world. And so I thought, well, this is probably a decent time for me to make a big change myself, because, first and foremost, you're not guaranteed infinite amounts of time to go pursue your dreams. And I really wanted to find a way to even better align my passion for business with my passion for making a change in the world that would help to address some of these bigger challenges around people understanding each other and people being able to have productive conversations. So this has been a huge leap. I'm happy to say I'm probably, 2.5 months on the other side of it. And it is
still early days.
Yeah. And I can tell you it's been one of the best decisions of my life.
Oh, that's so fun.
I love it.
What's something then, Lauren, given, because it's such a change, what's something you wish you knew earlier?
In life or in this role?
I'd probably say in life, because I think you're learning what's in the role, but let's take your longer view.
I wish I had known earlier that there wasn't a single prescribed career path that I needed to follow. Because when I was starting out, I would say I spent a few years early in my career trying to mold my own career moves and plan around the backgrounds of others. And that's not a bad approach at the beginning, but it has its pitfalls for two reasons. One is if you're looking at somebody who's already made it to maybe a place more senior and more advanced than you, their information is, 10 to 15 to 20 years old in terms of how they got there. And so you're modeling yourself after, an older model, and you're also presuming that what you're destined to do is entirely similar to what they're destined to do, and that what the world needs in the future is what it needed in the past. So as an example for me, I decided, and I did it a little bit more by happenstance in the beginning, to go broad when others were going deep. And so what that meant for me was taking a bit longer to take roles more laterally and across. And it took me a moment to name what I was doing and realize that I was preparing myself for a different type of career destiny, and that it was going to require all these different varied experiences. I wish I could have known that even earlier, because I probably wouldn't have been as frustrated with myself or comparing myself to others in the same way.
I loved that perspective of, what worked in the past isn't necessarily what the world needs now. And you're bringing such exciting new opportunities forward and impact for change. It's really wonderful to hear. Final question, Lauren. What's your dream for the world?
Whew.
Yeah. It's a big one. You could just make it for your country if you don't want to take on the whole world.
I mean, my country has a fair bit of work to do, so that might be a good way to bound this a bit, but it probably extends to the world. My dream is a much deeper level of empathy and understanding for people whose experience is furthest away from you, both kind of ideologically and kind of their lived experience. When I look at the world and certainly some of our most recent problems, it seems like it often goes back to a fear of the unknown or a fear of others who are different. And call me optimistic, but I believe that the more we can really understand other people's lived experiences and also internalize the idea that this is not a zero-sum game, we can all win together, that we could have a future world that is so incredible and provides incredible opportunity for all people.
That's a beautiful, beautiful dream for the world. And I'm grateful for you sharing it. You've been listening to Lauren Kelly. She's Chief Marketing Officer at Thought Exchange. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, Lauren. And I look forward to continuing to get updates from you on how things are going with Thought Exchange and the way forward.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Janice. I really enjoyed speaking with you and look forward to following you on other podcasts as well.
Thank you again.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.